Cause you're beautiful. You got to be strong. Cause you're wonderful. You got to have faith. To have wisdom. Queen, you were built for this.
Hey, Eden and Hi, ladies, how are y'all doing? I am your host, Stuart Schleicher, here, and welcome to Queen, you're built for this. I have my trusty sister with me, Tiffany Williams. And today, we are going to be talking about discussing the importance of bearing the fruit. So we're talking about what it means, what it looks like, and possibly how we can ascertain if we are bearing fruit. And bearing the fruit is very essential in our everyday walk, our everyday lives, of how we interact with one another, how we love one another, and so forth and so on. So the first scripture that I'm going to start us off with, just to get a feel of the theme, the topic is, it says in John 15 and 8, Jesus says, by this, My Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Bearing good fruit is not just a suggestion, it's a calling and a statement to our faith.
So basically, it's like this. We are seeking to bear good fruit. We want to make sure that we are bearing the right kind of fruit.
Because the wrong kind of fruit is immorality, lasciviousness, drunkenness, adultery, fornication, lying, bearing false witness, those are bad fruit.
And if you are doing those things or those things are attached to you, that means that you are not bearing the right type of fruit.
And so we are here to talk about how we bear the good fruit.
So, one of the ways that we cultivate or bear fruit is our foundation, right? Our starting to bear fruit. Most definitely, our relationship with Christ is an important aspect to how we connect to the true vine, which is Him, which is Jesus. Jesus is the true vine, and we are the branches.
And if you don't have a relationship with the true vine,
Do you are not yielding the fruit, and you get cut off. So, how do we get connected to the true vine? Is the next question.
So, of course, one, and you have Zoom.
Okay, so
we all know
that I'm very transparent, right, about my relationship with Christ,
as much as
you know
Christ gives me to share with you.
So honestly, according to my relationship with Christ, right? Everybody's relationship is different.
The first thing is my prayer life,
right? Before I made that step, I understood the step that I was taking, right?
For me, it started with my prayer life, with just my communication.
Talking to him and communicating with him and spending time with him and reading my Bible so that I can have an understanding.
And then, after I started gaining understanding
and my relationship with him deepened, I was able to gain an understanding of what it means to be fruitful to God. Honestly, when I first came back to Christ, started my walk with Christ, I didn't understand anything about bearing fruit. All I knew was that I was supposed to go to church. I'm supposed to pray, supposed to, you know, all the things that you're supposed to do. So I didn't understand
anything about bearing fruit when I first came back to Christ after my teenage years, my child's years away. I was 16 years old when I made the decision for myself to come back to Christ. And that's just what it would be. You come to a realization that you need God. And you come to that place of salvation, and salvation is like the door opening.
Yes.
But you don't step into the room yet. it's like you see the door, it opens, you have salvation. But inside the room is so much more. That's your walk, that's your talk, that's your heart, that's your spirit. That's everything that's connected to you, and that's where God feeds you at. And this is where you become a disciple. It's in that acceptance of who Jesus is, what he lived for, what he died for, and what he rose again for.
Oh, you can't?
Okay.
Because I do have my fan on.
Maybe I have to turn my fan off.
Okay.
Let me know if you're still having issues hearing us clearly.
It's fuzzy.
Okay.
How about now? Is it still fuzzy?
Oh, okay.
Okay. I mean.
One second, I'm trying to Okay, okay, hey, how about now? Is it still repeating what I say? Give me one second, I'm trying to figure this out. Okay. Is it as bad as it was? Is it still really bad? I can hear the echo and I don't know where it's coming. I can hear it.
Go back to her and see. Just we cut that down.
That's not gonna stop it. Cause that's just my regular computer audio. It's better? Okay. Okay.
Alright, so back to what we were saying. We're basically trying to tell you that the first step in understanding that you need to bear good fruit is understanding that you need God first.
Mm-hmm. Because we have one. Before you can understand that there is a good fruit or a bad fruit, you have to first be open to understanding why there is a such thing as good fruit and bad fruit. And who else to help us understand that than our Father in heaven. When we accept Jesus, when we accept his life, his death and burial and resurrection, right, why he did what he did for us and what that means, because Jesus was the one who explained it to the disciples. He explained what it meant to be a part of the vine, who the true vine was, who are the branches. So until we really understand and get to know Jesus on a personal level, which is communication and spending that time with him, having that intimacy with him, then there's no maturity. See? And so when we come to that relationship with him, when we come to this level of understanding that starts to grow, it starts to mature, it starts to broaden who you are in Christ, that begins to broaden. When you begin to gain an understanding of who God has called you to be, what God is calling you to, that's in the level of maturity that you have, right? When you're a baby out the womb, you don't know anything about being good and bad.
No.
You know that
I'm here, I'm hungry, I'm wet, I'm sleepy. I'm uncomfortable. Not necessarily in those orders, right? And it's up to the parent's job to take care of the child, to nurture the child, to care for the child, to help maintain the child. As the child gets older, then that child starts to gain understanding. No, no, don't do that. Yes, do this.
Yes.
Don't do that.
So the child begins to learn what is right and what is wrong. And it begins to get a sense of what to do and what not to do.
And even how to do it and how not to do it.
And how to make daddy happy. And how to make mommy happy. So the child begins to develop his own personality.
Yes.
His own sense of values.
Yes. And so one of the ways that I learned about bearing good fruit, how God broke it down for me, that was the analogy that he used. Children don't automatically just come knowing all the rules and regulations to life, right? As parents, it's our job to create boundaries, help them understand boundaries, help them understand rules and laws and how those work. And what happens when there's an infraction? The same way our cities and our states have laws and our governing laws, it's the same way, right? If you do this, according to the law, it is considered a law-abiding citizen. It's considered bearing good fruit. When you infract upon that, then according to the governing law, that is not bearing good fruit. You are not a law-abiding citizen.
You are now a lawbreaker.
You are now a lawbreaker, right? Well, if we look at that from the perspective of how God wants us to move and operate and be, right?
Right.
And when we start to ask God, what are your desires for me? Help me to love how you love.
But before you can even get to that place, you have to have a prayer life. You have to be able to talk to God. And I'm not talking about, oh, dear Father, which are in heaven, thou art great, thou Lord. No, no. It's almost being simple.
Daddy, God, Jesus. Today is crazy. Or today is wonderful. Or I feel like blah. Or I feel like, oh my goodness, like today is so beautiful. Or I feel so wonderful, right? It's communication, it's intimacy.
And just like you talk to someone whom you are in love with, someone whom you are connected to, someone whom you are in relationship with, When that relationship is fresh and new, you talk every day. You communicate every day.
You're talking for hours on end. Like, I know some in this generation that they fall asleep on the phone, and when they wake up, they still on the phone. That's how much you want to know about each other.
That's how close you desire to be with each other.
And we have to desire that same closeness with God.
Exactly.
How much more does God deserve? He deserves our early in the morning. You are late at night. You are when I'm feeling just not wonderful. Hi, you. Even if it's a push, right? Yes.
even when you don't feel it, especially when you don't feel like it, that intimacy, that prayer, that communication with God, that closeness, that oneness, being in your word, even when you do not want to be in it.
So we have something here that says, take time each day to ask God to reveal areas in your life where you are bearing good fruit and areas where you need to grow. Psalm 139, 23, and 24 is a powerful prayer for this. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thought. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So there is models in the Word of God that can help you move toward bearing good fruit. And what I have found out is that a lot of times we are already bearing fruit. We just don't know what type of fruit we're bearing.
Mm-hmm.
Our attitudes, the way we carry ourselves, the way we talk to people, the way we interact with one another, all that is bearing fruit.
Yes.
We are planting seeds in everyone that we meet and everyone that we talk to, even this podcast is planting seeds.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So when you come into God, when you begin to talk to God and meditate on His word and listen, keep that, listen to His voice, you begin to learn that God don't want to change everything about you. He made you.
Right.
He don't want to just remake you into somebody you're not. He's not going to try to take your personality and say, I don't like this in your personality. Let me just, okay, now you don't have that in your personality. God is not a mad scientist.
Listen, and we all know Frankenstein, right? That is not God, okay? When you are a child and you have childlike imaginations and stuff, and it's so beautiful, it's so wonderful. God wants you to be childlike, right? He wants you to have to come to Him as these dear little ones, right? But at some point, right, we have to mature. Right, we have to know that we know that we know without a shadow of a doubt who God is, who Jesus is, and who the Holy Spirit is, the Godhead, triune Godhead, three in one, right? Father, Spirit, and Son. Know who God is to us, who we are in God, and who we are to ourselves. Okay. And a lot of the time, who we are to ourselves does not match who God sees us as.
Whew, that is deep. That's a deep one right there.
It doesn't match. And we don't always feel worthy of who God sees us as.
Especially if we know that we have sinned. Especially if we know our own wrongdoing. Especially when we know that we feel like we are no good. And we feel like we have done nothing that pleases God. When you are in that place, you don't even understand the fruit that you're bearing in yourself. Because you're bearing fruit in yourself.
Yes. Oh, definitely. Definitely you are.
You're bearing fruit of depression, bearing fruit of condemnation, bearing fruit of loneliness, bearing fruit of mistrust, bearing fruit of abuse, bearing fruit
of self-sabotage.
Of self-sabotage.
Because all of those characteristics describes self-sabotage.
and self-sabotage is the enemy of all that God wants us to be and all that God has taught us to be. You know, we've talked about self-sabotage before. We've talked about a lot of different things that we're kind of hitting on tonight. But the meat of it that we're setting the stage for, kind of, was it for like a setting of the stage or whatever. The meat of it that we're setting the stage for is learning to get to that place. Even when you go months to years, right, without knowing if you're bearing fruit, what kind of fruit it is, right? I've been in situations where, and like before 2020 hit, I was like, I don't even know if I'm even bearing fruit, right? And we had a Bible study lesson that we were doing, and the chapter that we ended up doing right around the time when I was having these feelings was about the type of about our spiritual gifts and works and stuff like that, and the way that people described the gifts that they saw in me made me have to take a step back and be like, oh my goodness, you see that in me? Because wow, right? And in that moment, it made me think about the fact that if I were not bearing fruit, how would you even be able to see the gift?
Amen.
That's only that God has put on the inside of me.
Yeah.
Because you have to be bearing fruit for someone to be able to see and then be able to either help you grow,
mm-hmm,
or help you see God to turn away.
Yes.
From something.
Yes. And that's definitely the truth. We need more of God's word. We need more of God's light in us to shine bright for him, to make sure that we are doing the self-reflections that we need to do, because we all need to do self-reflections. Mm-hmm. We need to look within ourselves and say, hey, did I bear fruit today? Was I kind? Was I loving? Was I gentle? Was I of good report? Was my character lining up with Christ?
Right. Like, what kind of fruit did I bear today?
And so, we need to make sure that we are taking inventory of our motivations. What are our motives? What is inciting us? Not exciting, inciting. What's inciting us to move forward in the will of God? What's pushing us?
What's the incentive?
What's the incentive? And if we're in it for the intent, for the attention, if we're in it for the accolades, if we're in it to build our self-esteem, then we're not bearing the right type of fruit.
Because all of those leads to an eye.
Mm-hmm.
In the words of Joyce Myers, what about me? What about me? What about me?
Yeah.
Right? It cannot be a what about me.
It has to be what about Jesus?
What about God? What about Jesus? It's the focus on Jesus.
I mean, there's a whole song that says, it's not about us, but it's about Jesus. I mean, right. We have to understand that when we take a time to self-reflect and we take time to really look at our motives, our motives will tell us what type of fruit we're bearing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. If you are part of the, is it serving me? Is it benefiting me? Is it doing this for me? Is it doing that for me?
What am I getting out of?
What am I getting out of it? We're supposed to do unto the least of these. We're doing unto Jesus' brethren. That's what he said.
He said, you're doing it unto me. He didn't even say his brother.
What you do unto the least of these, my brethren, you do unto me. He said it back.
Yes. Yes. Because he relates what you're doing to how you treat him. How are you treating the motherless? How are you treating the fatherless? How are you treating the poor? How are you treating the broken? How are you treating the lost?
Yes. Or are you doing everything seeking to have something done in return?
Yes. Are you seeking your attention? The Bible says that those that seek
attention
you have your reward.
That's your reward already.
Yes. So you have received everything that you're going to get.
Right. Perfect example, right? Is the people that record themselves helping those in need. Right? Now, I understand it. I get it. If you're in school, right, and you have like a humanities class or something like that, and there is you have to document it for class purposes, right? Then, although I don't like it, I would understand that. And hello, how are you? I see you in the comments. You just came in. God bless you. But I don't like that. But I also understand that some things, right, you have to kind of work around if you're in school, right? You have a reason. There's a purpose behind it, right? But if you're just recording for the sake of recording yourself, right? Then no. God says, if you do these things in private, if you come to me in private, I will reward you openly.
The Bible also says, do not let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. So that means that keep it secret. Not everybody needs to know everything that you're doing. You don't even need to know everything that you're doing. You just need to trust. Trust me.
Right. Hey, Shamaj. No, I was saying that I do understand that there are some reasons why people have to record themselves doing those things, right? And yes. I do understand that. I'm not taking away from those that have a reason for why they have to record it.
Yes, for like purposes of getting your doctorate, social experiments that you are doing research on.
Right, I understand for research purposes and social experiments and stuff like that. Yeah. Although I find it awkward, and in some cases I even don't like it, I understand it. But we do have to be careful that we're not going against what the Bible said about doing our alms in secret. And when we come and when we do these things in secret or privately, that God will reward us openly. I'm not negating anyone's feel of necessity, right?
Yes.
But I also want us to make sure that we're understanding that we are not going against what Jesus was teaching about.
Yes, Samaj, and that's understandable. I would do that too, because you would need to record. You need recording of what you're doing for that reason. But we're talking about the wrong motivations. We're talking about the intent of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about for business reasons or for school reasons or for any other reason other than for you to, in order for you to understand, it's the intent of the heart, it's the spirit behind it.
Right.
Why are you doing what you're doing? Are you doing it to receive praise? Or are you doing it because it's the right thing to do?
Right. Right. Of course, by all means, if you are non-profit or if you even for profit and you and you're doing and you're, you know, you're giving, you have an organization like 501c3s and different things like that, by all means, document it.
Yes. Because if it's not documented, it didn't happen.
Right. But I'm referring to all of the videos that you see on Facebook and on TikTok of the people going to the restaurants, buying the food and going and passing it out to the homeless, right? Some of these people do not want no camera in their faces. Like, I'm not homeless and I barely want a camera in my face.
Speaking that on a podcast, saying that on a full podcast, not about having a camera in your face.
Listen, okay? I am transparent. I have expressed to my audience, right, to the family, that I am an introvert. Okay, I am an introverted wonder. If I could be in the background and not be in the public front forefront of anything, I would be okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I know that to be true.
But however, I am going to always put my first foot forward in my obedience to God.
Yes. Which brings me to a whole nother thing. Obedience. Obedience is so important to bearing fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Because
it's
you have to be obedient.
Yes. Yes, you do.
You have to be obedient to reflecting on your actions and assessing your relationship with God. You got to be obedient to that.
Even when it's uncomfortable. Even what you find out.
Especially when it's uncomfortable.
Especially when you find out. God show you things about the fruit that you're bearing that makes even you uncomfortable.
Samaj, you are too funny right now.
So funny. I understand it.
The consistency. Your consistency matters. Your consistency in prayer. Your consistency in reading your word. Your consistency in spending time with God. Your consistency in listening to God is so very important to you bearing good fruit.
Yes. So we just a quick recap. We're talking, our discussion today is about the importance of bearing good fruit. We're talking about what it looks like, what it means, all of that. That's what we're talking about the foundations. How do we get to that place of being able to learn about bearing good fruit, right? Because we talked about not always, you don't just start off
bearing
good fruit or knowing what it means to bear good fruit, right? Yeah. We don't automatically know what it means. We don't even always know what bearing fruit mean, period, right? When we first come to Christ, that's not something that we just all, I just came to Christ today.
And I'm bearing all the fruit.
And I'm bearing all the good fruit. That's not how that works. It's experience. It's knowledge. It's understanding. It's wisdom. It's discernment. Right? And we learn those things through our maturing in Christ.
Yes, I agree with
that. I do.
I agree with that very much so. Awakening Prayer Hubs, Bermuda. I agree with that statement that if you're persistent, you will get it. If you're consistent, you will keep it.
Yes, I definitely agree with that. And so because we know that is through the lessons that we learn, right? And through our relationship with Christ that we learn what it means to bear fruit, what bearing fruit is, and all of that. We started by talking about how do we learn? Is through our communication with Christ, is through our intimacy with Him, through our desire and closeness with Him. And that, and listening to Him, and even that in that is meditating on His word, right? In order to be able to learn, and that self reflection is meditating on God's word, meditating on Scripture. When we go back to the first number of Psalm, verse 2 and 3, it says, or describes a person who meditates on God's law as like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields fruit in its season. Right? When we meditate on God's word, we allow it to take root in our hearts, right? And it flourishes throughout our being. Right? The word of God says to write His word. Help me to write your word on the tables of my heart that I might not sin against you.
Yes.
How do we write the word of God on the tables of our heart? It's through meditation.
Yes.
It's through pondering on the word of God. It's through thinking about it. It's through
memorizing
it. Yes, saying it out loud to yourself over and over and over again.
Reading it every day. Because you have to get it in you. If something can't come out of you,
that's not in you.
Mm-hmm. And that brings me to the whole concept of what's in you is going to come out of you. There's going to be situations. There's going to be circumstances. There's going to be all kinds of its and ants and that's that is going to try its best to snub your life. It's like getting a stubbed toe. It's like hitting your foot up against a wall. What comes out of you in that moment? When you hit your foot up against a wall, are you cussing? Because what's in you is going to come out. When you hit your foot, are you like, Jesus?
Right.
What is coming out of you?
And I'm kind of laughing a little bit because it's funny, because it's absolutely not funny. But I remember where I used to be. And I remember, and I know the journey is taken for me to get to where I am right now. Now, I am by no means where I want to be, but I am most definitely glad that I'm not where I used to be. And I used to wonder, I used to like really like look at people when they said that statement, you know, growing up. And the times that I would go to church and stuff like that before I started coming to church myself. And I would literally be like, okay, now, where you used to be, because where you used to be, I need to know where you used to be so I can see where you at right now so that I could understand. Right? Because being a teenager in church, sometimes you will see some not so nice
behaviors
from grown folk in the church.
I have been witness to some things because my best friend at the time was the daughter of the pastor. So I hung out with PKs. And when I tell you, did they hear some stuff and they see some stuff and they experience some stuff?
It's true. It's very true. It's very true. Now, we're not going to harp on it too much, but when we're talking about bearing good fruit and when we're talking about the behaviors, the attitudes, the how you carry yourself, your character, right? That's a part of it. And how we're interacting with one another, that's a part of it. We're supposed to be drawing people to Christ. And they come to the church and you look at them twisted because they don't look how you want them to look. Because they don't smell the way you want them to smell. Because they don't wear their hair the way you want them to wear their hair. When it's not about any of those things.
Not about them whatsoever. Yes, I think we all
have. I think we all have seen some attitudes and behaviors that we should not have seen.
From people who claim salvation.
Mm-hmm. Which is why we have to be careful. Do a self-examination, a self-reflection through prayer, through reading the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Asking the God of our salvation to search my heart.
And if you find anything that's in me that's not like you, pluck it out, remove it, purge it, let it go. Do something with it other than let it be in my mind and being in my heart and being in my spirit because I know I don't want it at all.
Right.
Release me from it.
Please, Jesus. That's why we have to ask God to tear down every high and lofty spirit. Every prideful spirit.
I mean, if there was ever a song for the moment, it would be, Lord, deliver me. Because all I seem to do is hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
That song right there. Because it's true. We are our worst advocates. We are our worst critics.
Yes.
We are our worst brokenness. We do it to ourselves. I'm not talking about what other people do it.
Right.
I'm talking about when we are in that place of, Lord, I don't know what's good or bad about me.
Yes. Exactly. That part. When you don't know what's good or what's bad about yourself. And you really, really sincerely have to ask God, show me. Show me me.
And you're right, Samaj. We do need to pray, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me.
Every day.
It needs to be a prayer. This needs to be part of our prayer life.
Yes.
Especially our personal prayer life. I'm not talking about corporate prayer. I'm talking about your personal prayer time.
should be part of your reflecting time.
Yes. And take time to listen.
That God speaks to you.
Have we covered that part?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit, yes. But it's important to listen. God will confirm or speak to you. He will. Through his word.
Which is why it's important to read his word.
So you will know. If anything goes against what this word of God says, that is not of God. Now, it's our job, right, to rightly divide the word of truth. That's on us. And we have to ask God to help us to rightly divide the word of truth, right? But first, you got to get in it.
And you need wisdom.
Ask God.
God for wisdom. We need wisdom. We need knowledge. We need understanding. And God is a God that gives it to us liberally.
Yes.
So he gives it to us. He renews us. He revives us. The Bible talks about how we need to be revived again. That's why we are to rejoice. And again, I say rejoice.
And then talking about that wisdom, right?
Mm-hmm.
James chapter 3, verses 17 through 18. It says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Verse 18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So first, we got to understand that the wisdom that's from above is pure.
Yes.
First. Right? So when we're asking God for wisdom, understand that when God brings the wisdom, when he gives it to you, it's going to be pure.
It's going to be impurity.
And then peaceable.
So it's going to make peace within you.
And then gentle.
So it's not going to slap you across the face.
And easy to be entreated.
Which means that it's going to be easy for you to accept it and place it within your spirit.
Full of mercy.
That means that you're going to be forgiven.
And good fruits.
And you will bear the fruit of it.
Without partiality.
Without being so, without being considered that you're the best or someone is better than you or someone is greater than you.
Or how about not just part of it, but all of it?
Not all. Yes.
Because that was my takeaway from it. Full of mercy and good fruit without partiality, meaning all of it. Not a piece of it, but all of it, the entirety of it.
Okay.
And without hypocrisy.
So that means that it will not come without God proving it first.
It's not double-minded.
Yes.
It's not unstable. Excuse me. It's not flip-floppy or wishy-washy.
No, it's not. So we have reached the end of this episode. We have reached the end. Oh, my goodness. I guess this is going to be a two-parter.
They don't see. So far, yes, it's going to be a two-parter.
Yes.
I love you all, queens and or kings that may be listening, because I would be remiss
if I did not acknowledge the kings that support queens. You were built for this.
I would be remiss. And so we're going to be talking about it for as long as the Lord wants me to talk about it, because it's important.
Yes.
Bearing fruit is important, because if you don't bear fruit, then you're going to be like that tree that Jesus cursed.
Yes. Okay. Who wants to be a cursed tree?
Not I. And then after you get through the part of bearing fruit being important,
Then we get to understand why it's important to bear good fruit.
Yes. So until next time, queens.
Please remember, queens. Remember, remember, remember.
You were built for this.
Love you all.
Love you all.